from them this morning. Some of you heard from them last night, too. The Murrays are transitioning. They've been in Nigeria for over 20 years teaching at a school there, and they're transitioning to a ministry back in the States right now. And the Lees also have had a transition after being in Indonesia for 10 years. They are now living in Wisconsin, and but still have a ministry with a group called E3 Partners in Indonesia there. So you can find more, but thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And this morning we're going to talk along those lines. The theme of the morning is all about missions. That's what we're talking about this morning. Actually, a part of the theme tonight at the Harvest Banquet is along that line too, of the harvest of souls and that kind of thing. And we're talking from Psalm 67, called A Heart for the Nations. And I mentioned this Iranian pastor before, Yousef Nadarkhani. There he is, he and his family right there. We've talked to them before. He was in prison for about 3 years. And in September, he was actually released. He's out of prison now. Interestingly, the lawyer that represented him is now in prison for 9 years. I don't know exactly why, if that's related to his defense of Pastor Yousef there, but he was eventually convicted, and they didn't know what they were going to charge him with exactly and that kind of thing, and he had an opportunity to stand up in court when they told him that you must confess your sin of apostasy, and he said, no, I cannot do that, I am a Christian, and it went back and forth like that, and they finally convicted him of evangelizing Muslims in Iran there. And they gave him 3 years, which is the time that he had already served. So therefore, since he had served that amount of time, he was let go. He is freed. In many countries, conversion to Christianity is against the law. Proselytizing is prohibited in many places. In a relativistic America, even here where pluralism and tolerance are championed, the idea of proselytizing is frowned upon. The idea of evangelizing and talking about basic beliefs and those kind of things is frowned upon as well here. So we live in a world then where foreign missions is seen as really unnecessary. In some places it's seen as something that's wrong, that's evil. We live in a church that takes its cues from the world, and we have lost our missionary calling. We have become apathetic to the people of the world in what's going on in the world. And we tend to live with a tension between wanting to be loving and intolerant in the eyes of the world on one hand, yet we know that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation, and without him people will die in their sins under the wrath of God. So there's this tension. What do we do? What do we do about that? We're going to do this morning what we always do in times of confusion, and that's open the Word of God and allow God to speak. So with these things in mind, that we focus on God's heart then for the nations. It always starts with God. What we see this morning from our passage, and really the witness of the whole Bible, is our primary claim that God is a missionary God, therefore his people are missionary people. God is a missionary God, therefore his people are missionary people. The heart of God for the is to be the heart of the people, of his people, for the nations. God desires that people will know him and worship him. And this is for their joy and for their eternal life. That is God's heart for people. So we who are blessed by God are to pass on the blessing that we have received to others, that they might experience the joy of knowing God through Jesus Christ. It's our privilege, our joy, to let them know. So with those things in mind, let's open our Bibles to Psalm 67. We're going to start in Psalm 67 and base what we say on there, pull in many other passages this morning. If you have your Bibles, Psalm 67. The psalmist says there, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known in the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. of the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Let's pray. Lord God, we ask for your guidance, for your direction. We ask for the grace of the leading of the Holy Spirit here this morning as we talk about what your heart is, what we can do in the world as we celebrate the gospel of Jesus that is for all people. Lord, I pray that you would move in our hearts deeply, that you would help us to get over the barriers that prevent us from thinking about this, making ourselves available to you in these ways, and that you would speak to us in such a way that we know, that we understand that God has spoken this morning. Help us in that, Lord, we pray. Guide us and direct us. Help me, Lord, to be a faithful servant of your word and be a faithful servant of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ask for your blessing in that way, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're looking at your outline, number one says the blessings of salvation. We see that in Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. The psalm ends that way as well. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. Okay, it starts with the blessing of God. It ends with the blessing of God. And we see in this the grace of a shining face, make his face to shine upon us. And if you know your Bible and in the history of Israel, you know that back in Numbers chapter 6, there was a blessing given by Aaron, the priest, the brother of Moses. And that blessing says, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. That's a blessing of the people of Israel. And the psalmist here kind of keys in on that, and this shining face. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. This shining face is really the opposite of an angry face. It's the opposite of a scowling face. It implies favor and friendship and personal relationship. The prayer is that God would give the grace of entering into a warm personal relationship with his people, and that would be a gracious blessing, a great spiritual blessing, if we knew that God's face was shining on us and toward us, and that God was favorable toward us, and we had a warm relationship with God. That would be a blessing. To know God in relationship is a blessing. If you have this, this is the greatest blessing you could have. That the God of the universe, the creator of all things, was favorable toward you. It's a blessing. And this is the blessing of salvation. Now, if we move from here into the New Testament, the blessings of God come, we know, in Jesus Christ. Relationship with God is in Christ and is based on his death and resurrection on our behalf. That's where the blessing of God comes now. Jesus died on the cross, being punished for our sins. And he rose again on the third day that we might have ultimate victory over sin and death. Forgiveness and eternal life are great spiritual blessings, and they come through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the heart of the gospel message that we talk about so often. And we find these blessings of salvation in Jesus Christ. In fact, 2 Corinthians 4:6, put it up on the screen for you. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We see that shining face there. And that shining face is Jesus Christ. The shining face of God is what we see when we look at Jesus. He died on the cross, and he is the glory of God. So when we look at Jesus, we see the face of God. We have a relationship with God through him. And we see his great favor for his people, and that God sent Jesus to be the sacrifice of sin. So lost sinners, that means have hope in Christ. We have hope in Christ. God has acted in the world to pour out His blessings on all who are in Christ, and they are the recipients of this blessing. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians 2, verses 2 through 5, I just paraphrase here, he says something along the lines of, we were children of disobedience, living in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of our bodies, and by nature, children of wrath. That's what we were before. That's what all of us were without Christ, by nature, children of wrath, living out the passions of our flesh, enslaved to the power of our own flesh and the powers of the world. Then he says, but God, who is rich in mercy and love, that even while we were dead in our sin, made us alive together with Him. See, this is good news. It's good news for hopelessly lost sinners. It's good news for every one of us that God has acted in the world in Jesus Christ, and that while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. What a great, amazing blessing. And God lavishes on us, he says, his grace in Jesus Christ. Question, why? That is the blessing of salvation. But I want to kind of dig into why here. And you say, well, that's easy because I needed it. And that's true. And we needed salvation. But see, that the blessing of God in salvation is just not about us. It's just not about getting us saved or giving us fire insurance so we don't have to worry about some kind of eternal security. It's not just about us, even though that's a great blessing. And if we are in Christ, we have that blessing. But it's much more than that. If we go to Psalm 67, verse 2. Talks about this blessing of salvation, the shining face of God. Verse 2, that your way may be known on the earth, your saving power among all nations. That the saving blessing and the power of God may be known among all nations, he says. See, God always intended for his blessings to extend beyond his people. It started with Abraham and the Jewish people. The nation of Israel was the people of God. But even in the Old Testament, it's very clear that God meant for his blessing to go beyond his own people. When he called Abraham, who was the father of the people of Israel, the people of God, the Jewish people, he said this in Genesis 12:3, very important verse. He says, in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. In you, all the families of the earth. It's not only about you and your family, Abraham, but in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. So from the moment that God called a people and set apart that is to be set apart for him, there was a missionary purpose that the blessing of God would flow through his people to all the families of the earth. We see that in the calling of Abraham. So how does that work out? Well, it works out in Jesus. Jesus was a descendant, a physical descendant of Abraham. Jesus was a Jew, okay? And he was a physical, therefore, descendant of Abraham. And ultimately, all the nations are blessed in him. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ redeemed us, it says, from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, the gospel. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. You see the connection. Jesus died. Jesus became a curse for the people, but so that the blessing that God gave to Abraham might come to all people. Might come to the Gentiles. It might go beyond Abraham and the people of Abraham, or the people of his family. It goes to all people. And in 1 Peter 2, 9, Peter says this to the church. He says, but you are a chosen people, a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. He says to the church, and it's filled with Jews and Gentiles, that you are a holy race, a chosen race. You are the people of God. You are the possession of God. And he says that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's the purpose, that we might proclaim something. God has blessed us in Christ through Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham in Christ has become ours so that we can proclaim how excellent God is, how excellent the gospel, the good news of salvation is, so we might proclaim it to others. A blessing. That means the blessing is not to stop with me. It's meant to go beyond me. See, our purpose is meant to be lived out like the Sea of Galilee. Go ahead and go to the next one. If you can see that, way up here, Mount Hermon is where the Jordan River starts, and it flows down into the Sea of Galilee. And it flows out of the Sea of Galilee and keeps flowing. See, it's because that water is flowing out, is flowing in from the north, it's flowing out to the south, that the Sea of Galilee is filled with life. It's a life-giving sea because the water is not only flowing in, but it's flowing out. But if we go further south, we get to the Salt Sea or the Dead Sea. It's because the river flows into the Salt Sea and there's no outlet. It doesn't flow out. So the water evaporates and it just becomes a salty mess there. It's dead. There's nothing that lives there. And people are like that, unfortunately. We are like that. We receive blessings and receive blessings and receive blessings. But if we don't turn them around and go somewhere else, if there's no outlet for the blessings and we just hoard them selfishly, we become dead to the purpose of God. See, we're meant to be like the Sea of Galilee. The blessing flows in and the blessing flows out. And it goes to other people. Other people are blessed because we are around. Do you pass the blessing along? Are people who don't know Christ, are they blessed because they know you? Are they blessed when they are around you? Do they sense the blessing of God, the shining face of God upon them because they know you? Those are good questions that come out of this. There's a purpose that all the nations might know God. There's also a result. So therefore, since God has set it up that way, the people of God are sent as witnesses. They're sent as priests, if you will, to spread the word of God to the nations. In Acts 1:8, Jesus sends out his apostles, the 12 there, and he's sending them out and beyond. His disciples are there. And he says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. You will be a witness for me." The people of God bear a testimony about God and about God's blessings to the ends of the earth so all nations can experience the blessings of God. He said, "You will witness to me here and you will continue on and you will go all the way to the ends of the earth to be a witness for the blessing of God." The Great Commission says this, we know. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus says to his disciples, one of the last things he says, and Matthew ends with that. Okay, what do we do with all of this? All of this about Jesus and all of that. Well, what do? We go, therefore, and we make disciples of all nations. Of all nations. That's what we're to do. To go and make disciples of all nations. Our followers of Christ are sent on a mission to the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what about the nations then? What is the result there? Well, according to Psalm 67, he says, "Let the people praise you," verse 3, "O God. Let the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and you guide the nations upon the earth." The joy of the nations is the result of the gospel going forth, of the blessing of God going through His people and going out everywhere is the joy of the nations. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. See, God will be glorified on earth as people are blessed with salvation and as they find ultimate joy and satisfaction in Him. Eternal joy comes to all people of God. And that's God's heart. Okay, that's His missionary heart, that the joy, the satisfaction in Him would be shared by all nations, by all people. It's a couple of prophecies in Isaiah 11:9 and Habakkuk 2:14. Isaiah 11:9, "For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." You see, there's a day that's coming that the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, will fill the earth like the waters covering the whole thing. The knowledge of God will be like this, a glorious day. And it's a good thing that would happen, don't you agree? It's a good thing if the knowledge of the Lord covered the earth like a blanket of water, and everyone everywhere knew the gospel. They knew about Jesus. They knew about the blessing of salvation in Jesus Christ. Well, that brings us to Revelation 7, 9 through 12. We read it this morning. Revelation 7, 9 through 12. Now, this is what the Apostle John is seeing at the end. Okay, this is in heaven, and this is what happened. "After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" There will be a day when around the throne of God, people from every nation, from every language, from every people group, everyone that ever existed on the whole earth will be there praising and glorifying and magnifying God. "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, Jesus Christ." This is the end game. The nations worshiping around the throne of God. Imagine being there. Just imagine. Just close your eyes. Okay? Let's think about that. If you're there, what that'll be like. Does that excite you? Does it excite anybody? Okay? Amen? Okay, it should excite us. Okay, all the troubles and trials that we face and all the difficulties and persecution, all of that someday will be done, and we will be around the throne of God with brothers and sisters in Christ from every epoch, every time, every nation, every tongue will all be there praising God in Jesus Christ. So don't be put off by the so-called agents of tolerance of our age. They're not really tolerant at all. The only thing they really tolerate is their own relativistic and pluralistic view of things. For the nations to hear of the Savior is a great thing. They will be filled with joy to know Him. And the governments aren't necessarily filled with joy that Jesus Christ is coming into their nation. We understand that. And that's why there's trouble. And not everyone is filled with joy, but those who know Him are filled with joy. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy when they hear of the Savior. What does that mean? Well, it means that Chinese, British, Japanese, Indonesians, Somalis, Italians, Israelis, Iranians, Nigerians, Mongolians, Americans, Mexicans, Argentinians, Arabs, Palestinians, Hondurans, Ethiopians, Russians, Swedes, Germans, Cubans, Koreans, oh, it's on and on and on and on. They will be there. Some from every nation, from every tribe, from every language, all joyfully praising God. Let the nations be glad that He has poured out His eternal blessings of salvation on all people. God has ordained that this will happen. You know what else God ordains? He ordains the means by which it happens. This just doesn't happen. And this is not going to just happen. If we just sit back and wait, say, "God, you said you would do it, just go ahead and do it." Because God ordains means as He ordains the ends. And the means are the church living out its purpose to go to the nations, to be a blessing to the nations. That is God's heart, and we share His heart. So what does that mean for us here and now? That's the question we want to end with. See, not every Christian is called to be a foreign missionary. Huh? We are all called to be world Christians. What I mean by a world Christian, that's kind of a technical term it has become. John Piper defines world Christian in this way. He says, someone so gripped by the glory of God and the glory of his global purpose that he chooses to align himself with God's mission to fill the earth with the knowledge of his glory. A world Christian is someone who's so gripped by the glory of God. And therefore, they're so gripped by the glory of his global purpose that they align their lives with what God is doing around the world. That's what a world Christian is. As a world Christian, I have two options in relation to the world. Option one is to go. Option two is to send. To go or to send. God may call you to sacrifice the comforts of America and go spend your life for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And if God calls you in that way, just go. Just go. Because God calls in that way. If God does not call you in that way, then he calls you to sacrifice your resources to send others. To give time and talent and treasures so that others might obey the call and the nations might be glad. So I have two options, to go or to send. You know, there are over 100 million Christians estimated in China. It wasn't always that way. Okay? Why are there over 100 million Christians in China today? It's because some went and others sent. The last 100 years, there's been exponential growth of Christianity in both Africa and South America. Why? Because it's not always been that way. Because some went and others sent. That's why that happened. There's still much work to do. I brought this book with me. It's called Operation World. The subtitle is The Definitive Prayer Guide to Every Nation. Every nation on earth is in here. And there's all kinds of information on every nation and the state of the church, if there is a church, the state of Christianity in every nation on earth is in here and how you can pray for that nation, updated in 2010. In fact, there's dates across the bottom of this that you can pray for every nation on earth, that the gospel would spread, and pray intelligently for every nation if you follow the dates on the bottom. In a year, you can do that. Got tons of information we can pray. I was looking up Indonesia last night. Lots of information in there about Indonesia. And what are the needs? What's the situation there? And how can we intelligently pray for Indonesia? It's an amazing resource. We're putting out today these this little booklet about our missionaries. The missionaries that we support in this church. And each family can have one. And lots of information about those we support. You can pray in that way too. That's part of sending, is praying in that way. There's a question that always comes up, and I've heard it before, and you may have it in your mind. The question goes something like this. There's plenty of people all around us. Why do we have to put so much effort and time and resources forth to sending people around the world? Everybody's right here. Why do we have to go around the world? Let me ask you this question. If someone in your neighborhood wants to know about salvation in Christ, how far does he have to go to find an answer? How far does he have to go to find a church, a Bible-believing church? Okay, if he's in your neighborhood, he only has to find his way to your house, right? And it's probably within a mile of his house, he could probably find a church to find that. Let me ask you this. If you're in a neighborhood in a city in Indonesia, okay, and somebody wanted to learn about this gospel, this Jesus, okay, how far might they have to go, Roland? Miles. How many churches might he find in his neighborhood, in his city, that actually believe the Bible and believe in Jesus? Probably none, for most likely. Now, does God care about your neighborhood? Absolutely. He absolutely cares about your neighborhood. Does he care about your workplace? Absolutely. Is God's mission going to your school? Absolutely. And you know what? God put you there. He put you in your neighborhood for a reason. He put you in your workplace for a reason. He put you in your school for a reason. Okay? to spread the blessing of salvation wherever you are. So God cares about your neighborhood. Does God care about cities in Indonesia? Does God care about cities in Nigeria? Does God care about neighborhoods in China? Does God care about North Korea? Does God care about Japan and Australia? Does God care about Brazil? Absolutely. He cares about all of those places. And He sends people forth to go because there is not a witness that's there. That's why. That's the answer to the question. God has a heart for your neighborhood. So let us go and let us send. So we have a missions conference. This mission conference exists to remind ourselves of His mission and remind ourselves of the need to support and the need to celebrate those who go and pray for and to support financially and emotionally and encourage them. We need to be reminded of that. We are also reminded of our need to be available to God because He has called us onto His mission no matter where it is. It's not a matter of if He has called us into His mission. It's a matter of where. That's the only difference. Where? Has He meant me to be here in my neighborhood, my workplace, or has He called me somewhere else? That's the only difference. Do you want to see the knowledge of God and His glory fill the earth? Then engage. Engage in missions. There are lots and lots of ways to do it. And we do it for His glory and the glory of His kingdom. We do it because He has called us to receive the blessing of salvation that He has given and pass it on so that the glory of God will fill the earth in every nation, tribe, and tongue. Let's pray. Lord, we just quiet ourselves for this truth. It's clear. It's clear in Your word what You call us to do, Lord. It's difficult. We know that. We cannot be world Christians without the power of the Spirit working in us, without Your grace at work in our hearts. And Lord, I pray that You would call us forth not only to go, but to be senders of those who do go. To support financially, yes. To pray for, to encourage. You might call us to go short term or long term. Lord, I pray that we would be obedient and available to Your plan. So You are a God with a missionary heart. You love people. You sent Jesus Christ for people all over the earth. People who seem dark. People who seem far, far away. People who seem hopeless. But they are people who You created for Your glory, who You love. And Lord, I pray that You would give us Your heart, individually and collectively, that we would have Your heart for people, for Your glory. Guide us and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. We have a message to go to the nations with.